The oil giant Shell had a nasty surprise for the markets this morning.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm Lizzie O'Leary, in for David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. Royal Dutch Shell is Europe's biggest oil company, but had to warn the markets this morning that its profits for the fourth quarter were less than half what they were last year. That was in an early earnings report that erased about $10 billion in shareholder value. The company issued what's called a profit warning, meaning it won't meet analysts' expectations. To talk about it, we're joined by the BBC's Rob Young in London. Good morning.
Good morning.
This is Shell's first profit warning since 2004. What happened?
That's right. The company saying that the amount of money it expects to make in the fourth quarter of the last year is significantly lower than analysts had expected. The expectation was about $5 billion. The company saying it'll now make about $3 billion. There are various problems across the board, really. One of them is Shell is still struggling to make money out of shale oil and gas in the United States. It invested huge sums of money in there, and analysts say is one of the few oil majors struggling to make any money there.
Well, that's an interesting question about one of the booms that has been going on in the U.S. You've had a lot of oil and gas exploration here. At the same time, that drives down prices. Is that a logical follow-on that we could see something similar in other oil companies?
Well, Shell, for example, invested $24 billion in shale. Analysts say it was pretty late to the party, really, and that's because when it was late in, spent a huge sum of money. When prices fell, which was a consequence of this, Shell got burnt. But this boom of shale is pushing down prices not just in the US, but also globally, and that is hitting the entire oil sector.
So maybe something that feels good on the consumer end hurts quite a bit on the corporate end for the big oil companies.
Yes, that's right. And it's not a great start for Shell's new chief executive, Ben Van Beurden. He's only been in the job 17 days. He said that this isn't what he expects of the company. Shares fell 4%, wiping about $10 billion off the value of the company. One analyst described the news from Shell today as a shock.
That's not the sort of talk you normally hear from an analyst, Rob Young in London with the BBC. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Later today, President Obama will give a speech about some changes he's expected to make to the National Security Agency's surveillance programs. Those programs and the secrecy surrounding them have drawn fire from civil liberties groups. But what about the average American? How much do we care who's watching us online? Marketplace's Noel King reports.
In surveys, Americans say they're bothered by NSA surveillance, but most of us haven't actually changed our online behavior because of it.
Typically, most consumers want convenience, and as long as the tool is very convenient for them, they'll use it.
Daniel Castro is an analyst with the Information Technology and Innovation Foundation. He says even if American consumers aren't making changes, U.S. tech companies, from which the data is being collected, are taking a hit.
If there's two providers, say, of email, one's in the United States and one's in Europe, some people are saying, well, if you use the one in the United States, does that mean that the NSA will have access to your data?
John Kindervag, a vice president of Forrester Research, doesn't think the U.S. is the only government conducting this kind of surveillance.
The NSA got caught, but this happens around the globe. Anyone who thinks that other entities and other governments aren't doing the same thing is a bit naive.
And maybe that's at least partially why President Obama isn't expected to announce any really big reforms today. I'm Noel King for Marketplace.
The NAACP is out with a report card on diversity in the retail banking industry, and it doesn't look good. Retail banks are the ones that interact with customers like you and me. The highest grade, C+, for both Citibank and Bank of America. The lowest, D+, for U.S. Bank. Many of these banks have diversity programs for recruitment and training, but a lot of minorities aren't moving up in the banks or even staying. Sally Herships reports.
How do you fix a problem like lack of diversity in the banking industry? Diedrich Mohammed is with the NAACP. He says just being not racist is not enough.
The kind of more passive approach of we will just bring people in through the teller jobs or maybe through mid to lower management and they'll just work their way up. They're not working their way up.
Here's where I'd like to ask banks cited in the study, why? JPMorgan Chase had no comment on the study. And while the other banks did release statements, some saying they know they have more work to do, they declined interviews. Fabiola Dironé is with the Center for Talent Innovation. It consults with banks to help them diversify. She says a big problem is minority workers don't get honest feedback. Their supervisors say they're afraid they'll be misunderstood.
Are you going to think that I'm being prejudiced? Are you thinking that I'm treating you differently than the next person?
Next, Dironé says minority workers don't get enough sponsors. A sponsor is like a mentor, but much more aggressive on your behalf.
They're not getting as many sponsors because there aren't the sponsors that are sponsoring others are sponsoring people that may look like them.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Dironé says this isn't racism. It's subconscious. We're more comfortable with people like ourselves. She says these kinds of problems prevent minority workers from getting the support they need to develop executive presence, which is something Evelyn Tressett has. Now she's a corporate consultant, but she used to work for big banks in HR and as a COO. She says banks need to get better at anticipating openings.
And look at where you can build a pipeline for that opening, right? So it might mean you have to hire people in advance of when that opening is available.
But Tressett says for diversity in banking to become a reality, it has to hit the top of the agenda every day. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
Good news for fans of Bitcoin and basketball. The Sacramento Kings will start accepting it March 1st, making them the first big sports franchise to do it. Everything from tickets to jerseys, hot dogs, and beer with Bitcoin, online or at the stadium. In New York, I'm Lizzie O'Leary with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.